He's been around the program, been around the block.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
OMG.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think the role for Taysom is going to be tight end.
What was Dennis Allen really
thinking? Dennis Allen really thinking? That was Sean's idea for Taysom Hill to be a quarterback. That's not mine.
Earlier on the show, North Carolina football head coach Mack Brown. Coming up, baseball Hall of Famer Randy Johnson. Two-time Super Bowl champion Malcolm Jenkins. Plus, three-time Pro Bowl quarterback Alex Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Randy Johnson, Baseball Hall of Famer, is going to join us. I don't believe Chris Brockman, he's never been on this program, right? We've never interviewed him.
Never spoke to him in the history of our
show. So that's about to change in about 20 minutes' time. And then Malcolm Jenkins, new retiree in the NFL after 13 remarkable seasons, two-time Super Bowl champion, a fact that I laid on him at the Super Bowl a few years ago when he and Chris Long showed up. I think it was the year after the Eagles had won it all. They were together on our set, and I dropped the fact that NFL Research gave me, and Chris Long had no idea about it, and certainly neither did Malcolm Jenkins, only human being to win a Super Bowl against Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the only one to have done it.
So crazy.
So, you know, he did it against Peyton in his rookie year of 2009. And as we all know, the Philadelphia Eagles beating Brady years later. Only guy. So quite a remarkable career. And we will talk about it with him at top of hour number three. Alex Smith, who retired last year, will join us in hour number three. And again, like I mentioned, Randy Johnson shortly on the program. We had Mac Jones moments ago. Mac Brown moments ago. We had Mack Brown moments ago is really what I meant to say from North Carolina, and talked about Sam Howell's pro day, North Carolina's pro day. Pro days are coming to a crescendo, coming to a big finish. And today is Alabama's pro day, which is kind of like, you know, when you hear Mother's Day, like it's just your Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day, right?
Right.
Every day is pro day for Alabama. I mean, like, you got to be kidding me. Today's pro day. Got it. All right. So Alabama's pro day. Evan Neal weighed in at 345 pounds and 6'7", 345.
And he's like a shredded.
Again, everybody go Google what Evan Neal looked like at the combine and how, you know, he is 6'7", 345. And normally that'll make you the first overall pick in a draft in which clearly there's no quarterback that's first overall pick, but pass rusher extraordinaire Aiden Hutchinson expected to go there. And we don't know where Evan Neal's going to wind up. Could be Jets at four, could wind up being, what, maybe Texans at three, but then there's more pass rushers. Kayvon Thibodeau, there's also, you know, some terrific defenders. Sauce Gardner. I've already raised my hand and said I want to live on Planet Sauce. I want the Jets to take him fourth overall.
Shelby, let me get that sauce.
So that's what's going on. That's what's up. By the way, that's a new we workshopped, as you know, we come up with our best ideas on the show.
Of course.
Just an apropos of nothing fact that TJ Jefferson wants to throw out that happened the night before, or some occurrence that happened the night before in sports. He just wants to lay it all out there, and then here's the drop right here.
That's what's up.
That's it.
we cut that a while ago.
We've never used it.
Brockman, it started yesterday. I was trying to pitch Rich an idea for the news because, as you know, I've never done the news before, so I'm trying to, like, can we talk about that? And I gave him, like, this story that I thought was really cool, and Rich just sat there and looked at me and was just like, cool.
Because I'm like, you know, that's interesting. That's great. I don't really have to have
it. No, I'm sorry.
Because, you know, this is
well, you like to have a take to follow up.
Well, excuse me. I don't like to have a take. This show traffics in takes. This format traffics in takes.
Sports talk radio.
I know. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's
not like you pry it out of me. If I have one, I'm more than happy to deliver it. But, yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to concoct
I'll
one.
I'll do an item and then you'll just be like, okay, what else?
I know, because I'm not going to just concoct it.
That's what's up.
So what was it, Jason? He said, that's dope.
No, you said that.
I just remember we were off air when we did
we talked,
it.
I think I mentioned another fact and go, that's dope. Yeah, that's dope. That I'm like, that could be another name for the segment.
Rich is like, that's a segment.
There you go, right boom. There. That's a show. Not yet.
Not yet.
But like, I think this is a segment. Like every, like there's something.
Just throw something random out.
Where I don't have a reaction to it and I don't feel, like, as you know, I don't concoct this stuff just because. This show is supposed to traffic in this sort of business. But so that's why we'll just do a new segment where you come up with something. How about this? By the final segment of the show, you have 2 hours to come up with an interesting fact that you know I wouldn't really be. I'd like to know.
Okay. Well, I got you.
And then you'll say the fact and then
save it, Jay.
Point
save
to
it.
Jay.
Save it, though.
No, point to Jay.
What's up?
Then that's okay. It.
All right.
That's what's up.
That's dope.
That's dope.
And if you want to make it have to do with hockey, because that was Chance the Rapper. They're doing hockey down here. You know, that was brilliant. Brilliant SNL sketch.
I cannot pronounce
sketch.
This guy's name.
Too many syllables.
Everybody
too
must.
Many syllables.
Too many consonants.
You must go. You just go ahead when you're, you know, in a Rich Eisen Show YouTube wormhole. Just pop in Chance the Rapper SNL atop it and just watch that sketch. It is laugh out loud funny. Okay, so so we can be on time for Randy Johnson. Chris, you're back in the saddle.
Hey,
you've
hey,
got some NFL. Hey. You've got some news, right?
Welcome
you've
back, got some bro. News? You got he got some sun. I know that.
I know that. Okay, hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, very good. Very
always
good.
So disrespectful.
It would have been really disrespectful if they played yesterday's,
drop.
I thought that was
do you have that, Hoskins? Can you pull that one up? Can you pull that one up?
That's where I thought we were
hit it! Hit it! Hit it!
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's
T.J. Jefferson.
No, we're not doing that. That's disrespectful.
You were in here.
Why would you do that? So just don't play it. What do you mean? Why would you play my drop for him?
Well, because we kind of, you know, twisted a little bit.
I mean, I had, yeah, had to do the segment.
It's called a tweak.
No, that's not. No. I don't want to do the news now.
Oh, come on now. You can't take your news and go home.
But that's so disrespectful.
That's not disrespectful.
Think about
man.
How you would react if we did that to you.
Well, we do that when he's not on the show.
Are
we see the Rich
me?
Eisen Show hosted by Ryan Leaf.
My wife has her own sign.
We're not married.
You guys kind of are. That is your work husband, bro. Like, don't even, like, you two are work married.
Man, I feel like Jim Irsay right now.
Good segue, sir. What do you got?
All right. So, we know Jim Irsay, our great friend, the Colts owner, has been there for a long time, knows a lot about football, seen a lot of things.
He has.
I'll tell you what he didn't like seeing.
What do you
He said seen a lot of things.
Yes.
He didn't like his quarterback last year.
At all.
He called Carson Wentz era, quote, the mistake he couldn't wait to fix. For us, it just wasn't the right fit. I don't know why. A lot of times you don't know why, but you know it isn't. It was important for us to move in a different direction.
Yeah, I think the worst thing you could do is have a mistake and try to keep living with it going forward. For us, it was something we had to move away from as a franchise. It was very obvious. It was something we had to move away from, which is, I think, maybe he had the Beatles on the brain.
Yeah, man,
something
yeah.
in the way he moves out of the hell out of here.
He's a big music guy. I know that.
How about this? I got another quote.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I got it. Go put it up on the screen, Hoskins. No disrespect to Jacksonville.
Oh my gosh. Heavy disrespect for Jacksonville.
It's how we started. As you know, week 18 is where it all went to, you know what, where if he didn't like Wentz going into it, he had a white hot hatred for the quarterback coming out of that game. Here we go. No disrespect to Jacksonville.
Oh, but this but next
I mean,
part, that part.
The, hold on a minute.
But I mean,
they're the worst team in the league. You play well and hard for the first quarter or so, and they're looking to go to their locker room and clean it out. I've never seen anything like that in my life. You say, my God, there's something wrong here. It needs to be corrected. I think we feel I think that we feel like we did.
Wow.
He told the Indianapolis Star. Now,
you hold tight. Hey,
again,
wait, Rich.
Again, just look around of what the changes that they've made. How many changes has Indianapolis made? There's, other than like not yet re-signing T.Y. Hilton, which is possible.
Possible.
Right?
Possible.
What's the change that they made? Did they change their coach?
No.
Did they change their general manager?
Not that I'm aware of. Oh, they got a new kicker? No, didn't do that.
You say, my God, there's something wrong here. It needs to be corrected. I think that we feel like we did.
Hey.
Wow, that was amazing.
I mean, so, Jim, how'd you feel about Carson Wentz? And then you got the Washington Commanders putting him in like a Letterman's jacket and saying he's the missing piece.
They posted today, the Commanders, Wentz Wallpaper Wednesday. And it was like, you know, photos you can save to your phone.
Oh, because so it's also the, W, too.
Yeah.
They're the Washington, that's their.
A lot of W's.
Wentz Wallpaper Wednesday. You know who's uninterested in Wentz Wallpaper Wednesday? Jim Irsay. Wants no piece of that wallpaper.
Yeah, they called it Wallpaper Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Got it. Boy, they're thinking there.
Wow. You got to do something.
Oh, man.
I love what you said. He's seen it.
Colts don't play the Washington football team, do they?
No, do they?
I don't know. It could be one of those. You go to the next one. I'll take a look.
All right, so this next item, March Madness. Final Four this weekend, guys. First time ever. Not sure if you heard this. First time ever Duke and UNC are playing.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, they do?
They host the Washington football team in 2022.
No way.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. The Colts are scheduled to face the AFC West and NFC East in 2022. Carson Wentz will lead the Washington Commanders. Wallpaper Wednesday is coming to a Sunday in Indianapolis near you. Oh, my word.
Man, looking like an Oscar Mayer wiener in that picture.
Spoken like a true Cowboy fan right there.
That is the ugliest jacket I've ever seen. With all due respect.
No disrespect. Hold on a second. An owner said this. No disrespect to Jacksonville, but I mean, they're the worst team in the league.
He's not wrong. I mean, they are pretty terrible.
Well, they played him at the wrong time. They needed to play him when Urban Meyer was kicking kickers.
Oh, man.
Okay, get to this piece of news,
real quick,
please.
Duke, North Carolina playing in the Final Four. First time ever that these guys are playing in the NCAA tournament, which seems amazing. I can't believe that that's true. Country music superstar Eric Church, monster, huge, enormous UNC basketball fan. He has a concert on Saturday. He just straight up canceled it. He canceled his concert because he doesn't want to miss the game.
Where is it? Where's the concert? Do we know?
Let's see. I don't know where the concert was, but he said he's canceling it because, he won't be able to perform at the AT&T Center in San Antonio.
In San Antonio?
So he's canceling it so we can go to the Final Four in New Orleans.
Prioritize things. Yeah.
Fans not happy. A Church admittedly called the move the most selfish thing he's ever asked of his fans in a statement, but he implored them to understand because the game means that much to him.
I'm sure they don't.
Wow. So Eric Church's fans had no idea they needed to be rooting for St. Peter's real hard.
Really, yeah, really, really hard.
It's a basketball game. I mean,
I know, but
it is the biggest. Hold on a second. We talked about it with GM.
Sure,
we talked about it with Scott Van Pelt yesterday. We talked about it last week. This is the biggest. We thought the Cameron Indoor finale biggest Duke North Carolina game, you know, or the biggest opportunity for North Carolina to stick it to Duke that they'll ever have. And now this happens 2 weeks later.
Oh, my gosh.
Or three weeks later.
And when North Carolina wins and Coach K cries walking off the court, it's going to be so incredible.
But, it sounds like some of his fans are now going to be rooting for that to not happen. Now there's a whole bunch of Duke Blue Devil fans. I mean, that's kind of rough. I mean, that's kind of rough. It's kind of like you're telling all your fans.
And plus, like, last minute, you know, people probably have planned their whole month, maybe their whole beginning of the year around this concert.
You know,
traveled for it.
You know what I would have
loved?
Travel,
hotel.
Here's what I would love to have had. a GoPro camera rolling on the conversation between Eric Church and his manager. The person who had to call up the venue, who had to put out the statement, whoever had to basically do at what Eric Church wanted to have done, fully knowing this was a dreadful business idea. Whoever's in charge of his business, that person deserves a raise. They need a gift basket.
Yeah.
To make that phone call on basically Eric. Look, man. Here's what we'll do. We'll have a TV right there.
Maybe we'll delay the start of the concert.
Hey, Eric, I could help you out. I am a professional multitasker. Mm. I did this show watching Michigan lose in the Big Ten tournament game. And I know that you're saying that's not the same thing as a Final Four against Duke, that you need to physically be there.
There could be a
television right there. And then, you know, with 2 minutes to go, he could have stopped the concert and they would have put it up on the screen behind him and entire stadium would have watched and rooted his North Carolina Blue Devils on. Right. Like literally the final 2.5 minutes, hey guys, and have the band play while he's sitting there just watching the game. Because that's all that matters is the last 3 minutes anyway.
Something.
Yeah. That would have been a blast.
He could have left stage.
How about this one? What if he goes and it's a complete, utter blowout? Like, Duke blows the doors off him. Like, 8 minutes in, you know it's a wrap.
Then he's got to do his next concert for free. All the people who are going to go tickets, to Saturdays, right? Those tickets now get comped, like, refund.
How about, like, his manager had to be like, hey, Eric, we'll put it up. We'll get your screen right down here. You can watch it. You can see what's going on. And then right behind you, look at this. We'll stop the concert for the last 3 minutes. TV timeouts and all. What do you think? You think the fans would have a problem watching an NCAA? Some of them probably wouldn't mind watching it. They might have money on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a much better fix to just out straight up.
RES Consulting was not consulted. I'm telling y'all. That's what's up.
That's what's up.
There you go.
I mean, now I don't have to do the bit now because that would have been my story.
Great news, Chris. Great news.
Welcome back, bro.
Way to rebound.
Welcome back.
Also, Tiger played 18 at Augusta yesterday, and Hank Haney says he's definitely playing.
All right, let's talk about that later. I don't want to be late for Randy Johnson. We'll take a break. More phone calls.
We got to expound
Scott
on this
Van
Tiger
Pelt really hit that hard yesterday on the program. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Randy Johnson. No, by the way, thanks for putting a Yankee photo up on the screen for Randy. Thank you for that. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit.
Jets win the Super Bowl on Sunday. Are you here on Monday?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
Why would I want somebody else sitting in this chair? I'm a professional.
Well, you say that. But like, again, no, it's not in that chair, though.
Brother, it's different. TJ, there's no comparison between me and Eric Church. Eric Church is a musician who loves his sporting teams. I'm a professional, you know.
Who loves the Jets.
Who doesn't cheer in the press box? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still, when it all comes down to it, you know, fortunate what I do for a living. I'm not canceling on anything because this is just a sporting event.
Let me explain something to you.
Be at the event.
If the Dallas Cowboys win, we win the Super Bowl next. Yeah. I might not be here on Monday, is all I'm
saying. I understand, because you're not professional. But I'm professional, is our next guest on the phone line, Christopher.
Yes, sir.
Joining me here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, it's last week or 2 weeks ago, we had Nolan Ryan on the program. He's number one all-time on the all-time strikeouts list. Now we've got number two on that list, and he is a Baseball Hall of Famer who is a 10-time All-Star, 4-time Cy Young Award winner, and he's one of the legends that fans will have a chance to play with in MLB The Show 22.
Well, Rich, Randy Johnson. You're slighting me as Cy Young. I'm 5-time Cy Young, but that's okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I can only go with what the folks put in front of me here because I forgot how many Cy Youngs you had. Five times.
I got one. I got one in Seattle and four in Arizona, so that would be five. But maybe they were just saying the four that I had in Arizona. I'm not sure.
No, let me check on this. No, I'm somebody's about to be fired, Randy. So
the heads are gonna roll.
That's the way I roll. That's the way I operate. Yeah, nobody crosses me like that.
Anyways,
how are you, Randy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Yeah.
Fantastic. So let me just jump into what the here and now is. The number of times I keep hearing about, Randy Johnson was there taking photographs of something. I've lost track. So what are you up to, and how often are you out, with your camera doing your thing, Randy?
Well, before baseball became a real thing in my life, I was going to USC, and I studied photojournalism, and so that's where my photography kind of began. And then, obviously, 4 years in the minor leagues and 22 years at the major league level, there wasn't a lot of time for photography. And so when I retired in 2009, I started to, dust off the camera equipment, relearn how to use a camera again. And then since then, I've gone on numerous USO tours to support our men and women that are around the world. And then just on a lot of trips in general. And concerts, Africa, various things like that. So nothing is a set schedule for me, but in the last couple of years, there really hasn't been a lot going on just because of the COVID.
Right. So what do you want to take pictures of or document that you have not had an opportunity to do yet? And you're like, I'd like to be on the sideline or at a certain spot. You said concerts. Like, what would you prefer to? What would you like to do?
I've been pretty fortunate that I've been able to go to I had some incredible access for Billy Joel show up in Seattle at Safeco Field, the same concert here in Arizona, and had all access. Elton John, the same kind of thing. Just kind of don't knock anything over. Step on any cords and disconnect the power lines. But have had that ability to take those kind of pictures, and then in exchange, if they need something from me for social media or something like that, a website, then I'm more than happy to reciprocate after getting the access that they've allowed me to have. And then motorsports and travel. I think the greatest trips I've gone on have probably been to Africa, been to Ethiopia. I've trekked through the mountains in Rwanda to see the silverback gorillas, and then naturally just been over to the Serengeti and the Masai Mara to watch the Great Migration a few times. So there's a lot of places in this world that I'd like to go, a lot of places that I haven't been yet, and a lot of times I just find interesting places by other photographers and then start searching it out.
I love it. Randy Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show. How do you get access at Safeco? Who do you know? You know somebody there? I don't understand. How do you get to...
I don't.
Come on. You don't just show up and say, I'm Randy Johnson, no matter what's going on at Safeco?
I guess... If the kingdom would have been there, I probably would have had better access. But that's been knocked down for many years now.
Got it.
I just really enjoy. I think the transition into retirement now for quite a while now since 2009 has been made a little bit easier, simply because I have something that I can you know, enjoy that takes up some of my time. You know, I also have a place over at the beach, and, you know, it's not out of the norm for me to have a camera in my hand and you know, be taking pictures of, you know, the guys surfing there or over at the wedge when the swells are pretty big. So, you know, it's really limitless, you know, with travel or going out in the ocean and seeing whales or, you know, things like that. That's kind of the stuff that I'm looking forward to doing this summer.
It's Randy Johnson, Baseball Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you mentioned how, you were into photography for a long time until baseball became a thing for you. How did baseball become a thing for you? I'd imagine that youth managers or coaches and youth sports kind of push you towards basketball. Was that never an option?
I did play high school basketball and baseball, mm-hmm. and it was fun at the time for 3 out of the 4 years. And then when I got a scholarship to go to USC, it was theoretically a half basketball, half baseball, but I essentially was just playing the 3 years that I played there at USC for Rod Dedeaux. It was all for baseball. And I think, I still hadn't come into my own during college. And then I signed with the Montreal Expos, and then 4 years at the minor league level, you know, I was still trying to gain some control and consistency with my mechanics. And then eventually, got called up in Montreal. And during all this time, you know, there's the biggest hindrance at that time, but also it was a double-edged sword. The biggest, attribute was my height and my leverage and my ability to throw 95 to 100. It was just a matter of becoming consistent and not, and trying to understand and get it harnessed. That was probably the biggest challenge for me. And it took several years into the major leagues. And so you can imagine it was always something that was, you know, I was trying to keep under control.
So what clicked? What helped you click? Do you remember when you clicked?
I think, you know, there was moments of real highlight games for me that was very encouraging. And then you go back out and, you know, 5 days later as a starting pitcher schedule is, and then you don't have that same success. And then you start questioning your ability and all that. But I think eventually, inevitably, in the Kingdom, my home for 10 years in Seattle, I had a nice conversation with Tom House and Nolan Ryan. I think it was probably being in the American League West at the time and Tom House being a former USC Trojan, I think he took the time to obviously see some mechanical flaws that I still had that hadn't been corrected in high school, college, 4 years in the minor leagues, or even the first couple of years in Montreal or in Seattle. And it was one small little thing that they were going to show me when Nolan threw a bullpen session in the Kingdom, and it was simply falling on the ball of your foot, your landing leg. And what I was doing, I was landing on the heel of my foot, and that would inevitably make my momentum when I was falling towards home plate or trying to fall towards home plate, my momentum would be turning because my heel would be twisting, and I would be falling off towards the third base side. So inevitably they taught me and showed me how to land on the ball of my foot, and then naturally my momentum went towards home plate, and I was able to, you know, have everything follow and go towards home plate, and I wasn't losing my arm angle, and my velocity was staying the same, and it just became very impactful. One small little thing like that was really what I was looking for, inevitably, to remain consistent on those games that occasionally I would have. Those games became more consistent, and I really actually started having a lot of fun in the game when I was able to see my ability, and then I just tried to get more out of my ability by understanding the game itself and how to pitch, but really I was trying to find my mechanics and, you know, the building blocks of being a pitcher. The, you know, most pitchers already know about the mechanics and aren't hindered by their 6'10" frame. That was the downside. But inevitably, I was thankful that I had a conversation with House and Nolan. And then from that point on, I was playing catch up, if you will, where other pitchers were already ahead of me because they already had their mechanics. I was trying to catch up to them in their ability to pitch. And now I'm learning how to pitch with the attributes that I have, my fastball and my height and leverage and things started coming into place and it was a lot of fun.
It's such a strange question to ask somebody who's number two on the all-time list, who just told a story about the guy who's number one on the all-time strikeouts list, helping unlock your potential in Nolan Ryan. That's incredible, Randy Johnson, but this is a simple question. If you were still pitching today where everybody's focusing on exit velocity and trying to swing over a shift and striking out much of the time, how many more strikeouts do you think you could have in today's game, Randy?
Well, I came close to 400 one year in one season. I suspect that if they were letting me go out and pitch like I was in the 90s and the 2000s, you know, where I was allowed to throw 135, 140 pitches in a game, I would probably get to that number. But unfortunately, in today's game, pitchers aren't allowed to go deep into the games simply because they're not allowed to throw that many pitches in a game.
There's also the analytics, right? Third time through the order. I mean, would a manager ever be able to tell you, you know, Pinella? I mean, I don't think he'd be the guy. Or it's such a different era, man. I mean, going up to Randy Johnson, say, need the ball, Randy. It's a third time through the order, and your numbers are such and such a thing. I mean, I can't even imagine.
And analytics are important. I'm not denying that, but I also don't want to deny the ability that a player may have that he never gets to because he's never allowed to stay out there and actually see what it's like to get through a tough situation and extend himself and see what it's like to get out of a situation that pitchers have been doing for over 100 years. And I think when you finally get in that position and you see that you're able to get through a situation like that, you get to the next level of pitching. And I think in today's game, there's not as many pitchers that are allowed to do that as there was when I was pitching. And I'm thankful that I was allowed to do that because then it made me grow as a pitcher. I think it allowed me to see what it took. You know, this inning could take another 10 pitches, and I'm going to have to really bear down and focus. And I'm tired, and, you know, hitters are coming up, and, you know, I just think you gotta really bear down, and I think not being put in that position, pitchers never know what it's going to be like to get out of that position because a pitcher's coming out of the bullpen to relieve them and get out of that situation. So I think that's the one thing I take from today's game that I just wish that there was a little bit more of a leash that was loosened for pitchers so they could go out and pitch and really grow as a pitcher.
Well, I know, and this is another odd question to ask somebody who's got damn near 5,000 career strikeouts, but it is baseball. Every pitcher always had some guy that would wear him out. Was it who was that guy?
It was a long list.
Oh, come on,
really
seriously.
Was. I mean, as any pitcher would say, that's played 15, 20 years, over 20 years. You know, not everybody was a strikeout. I gave up a lot of home runs. And I gave up a lot of hits, and you know, there's a lot of people that have that. You know, if I met them, I would probably owe them a steak dinner just because they wore me out. Mike Piazza has good numbers off me. Chipper Jones has the most home runs off me. The list is long, and then you know, it just all depends on how many at bats are you talking? Like 10 at bats, 15 at bats. I mean, we could go all the way up to 20 at-bats, 30 at-bats.
So then I guess which one would it be where, you know, you're going through your pitching plan or whatever before your game and you're like, okay, I know when this guy's up, it's going to be my who would be the guy that you would just like want to see?
I can't think of any names right now, but like, Mike Piazza or
you said Chipper. Chipper.
You know, Chipper Jones, someone like that. I think, you know, you respect everybody that comes up there, and you also realize that you're going to be doing damage control too. They may get their hit. If they get their hit, if they get their home run off you, now you got to bear down and either understand that the person, your nemesis, is on deck, and so you need to get the person out at the plate so the person that comes up that your nemesis isn't, you know, doing, you know, you're trying to keep damage control in play there, I think. But, yeah, I think I'm sure you got technicians there that could rattle off 10 people that probably are batting over 500 off me with more than 15, 20 at-bats, and I think that's a pretty good number.
Of course it is. I mean, did you ever face Griffey? Did that ever happen where he moved on and you moved on? And
yeah, well, I mean, I played here in Arizona, and right. I played with the Yankees, but more importantly, I here with the Diamondbacks, I was actually able to pitch a couple of times up in Safeco Field. When he was still in Seattle, I think I faced him like three times. We actually talked about that recently. Faced him and Edgar, who I consider one of the best hitters I've ever seen.
No doubt.
I think I got Junior out, and then I threw him a slider that backed up a little bit, and he said he hit his elbow. He told the umpire, so the umpire gave him first base, and I just looked at him, shook my head, like, come on, man. Stay in there. Let's stay in there. I'll throw you my best stuff. We'll see what happens.
I love it. Randy Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you are one of the legends that fans can have a chance to play with in MLB The Show 22. Kurt Gibson, the 84 Kurt Gibson is going to be in the game. 2000 Carlos Delgado, who Delgado'd a few times. Dontrell Willis from 2005. And the version you're in this game with is the 95 version. You won your first Cy Young Award with the Mariners. Is that the version? Yes. Did you get a chance to choose which version, or you approved it? Could you get to approve which version of yours?
I didn't get to pick which version I was going to be, but I did help design what I was looking like. I mean, nice. I think I was in full mullet attire in Seattle by 95, so they had to get the mullet correct and just the nemesis and, you know, kind of like the pig pin, if you will, from Charlie Brown with the big thing of smoke coming up around me on the mound and all that.
How does one tell them to get the mullet right? Walk me through that. It's got to be a certain length. I mean, like,
they were showing me some, you know, some top secret, you know, designs, some artist renditions. And I said, no, it's got to be longer. We're talking a mullet. Come on.
I love it. Just amazing. All right, we found out the guy who's got the most career hits off of you,
there
Randy
you go.
Johnson. We
and
got
how
it.
How many at-bats does he have?
How many at-bats, T.J. Jefferson? How many at-bats does he have?
Let me pull. I didn't see the at-bats.
We didn't say the at-bats. Just got the number of hits. I don't know. We don't have that number, but the number that we have is 20. 20 career hits against you.
And give me three names, and I'll pick the person probably.
Okay, here we go. First name is, we'll go with Piazza, okay. And then Pudge Rodriguez, Paul Laduca.
Paul Laduca, I faced all of them. But I think that Mike Piazza probably has the best numbers off me, so I'm going to say he's got 20 hits off me.
Actually, it's Paul Laduca with Pudge being second. That's what we got here. Yeah, how about that?
Well, so that's the top three hitters against me then, probably, then.
What do you got
Pudge
there?
Pudge is first, Laduca
Pudge
second.
Is first and Laduca second. Okay, that's it. Pudge is
really?
First, Laduca second. There you go.
Well, there. Okay. Now, next time I do an interview and someone asks me who are the toughest hitters I've ever faced, well, I can say Paul Laduca
and Pudge Rodriguez
and Piazza.
You're much welcome. You're welcome, Randy. I try to leave people in a better spot.
Thank you for that useless information.
Okay. Randy, that's what I'm expert at. That's why, you know, I've been on the air since 96, the year after your first Cy Young Award, man. So that's how I've been able to stick around, is by making useless information somewhat useful. And then I guess now that there's no more pitchers being required to hit in Major League Baseball, do you know how many career home runs you hit? Randy Johnson. Do you know how many career home runs?
Oh, it must have been at least 15 or 20, I think.
I think you should take the under, Randy.
I'm sure you got your crack engineers on that topic.
I already have that information. It's written on a card. It's one time. You hit one home run. You hit one home run in your career.
That's all?
That's
it must have been all the batting practice home runs I hit at various ballparks. Those didn't count?
I guess not. Apparently did they not count?
Apparently not.
We got one. Yeah. We got one.
All right. At least I got one, right?
Yeah, it was in Miller Park on September 19th, 2003. So we'll call you on the anniversary of that.
How many home runs did I give up?
Oh, gosh. Ooh. You know, here's the crazy thing is, and it, you know, when we had Nolan on a few weeks ago, he's the all-time leader in walks, too. You know, I mean, Favre was the all-time leader in touchdowns for a while and interceptions thrown. I mean, when you've been at it such a long time at the top of your game, you're bound to, you know, lead in everything. So that's
it's like everybody will come up. How many birds did you hit? How many birds did you kill over 22 years?
Well, apparently same number of home runs you hit, Randy.
Yeah, but which was a greater feat?
Well, both were moving that you hit.
That's true. I put both of those in very high esteem. In my office here, I have the home run ball. In the other corner, I have a stuffed dove.
I don't know how you put it back together, Randy, and I don't mean the home run ball. I mean, you know.
I have them both in my office, so those are my two prize positions, prize possessions, the baseball and the bird that I hit.
You know, the anniversary that just came up.
I don't even know where my Cy Youngs and my World Series trophy are.
Had to be real hard to put that bird back together.
Randy, I really appreciate the time, man. I hope we get to do this more often. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too.
All right.
Thanks again, sir.
Tell your security next time I come down there to let me in, even though I don't have an appointment. Yesterday, I got turned away. Security escorted me out of the building.
We got to make sure. We got to get on that. We'll make sure you get on that.
I guess next time maybe I need to bring like a baseball card and show them that I really am Randy Johnson.
Or a bird.
RJ.
Bring the bird there.
At RJ51Photos on Instagram to check out this man's work behind the lens. Thanks for the call, Randy Johnson. You're the man.
My pleasure. You guys be well.
Randy Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was just tremendous.
I did not expect that.
He's got a little Bill Walton in him.
Yes, he does.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll try and put that all back together like the bird. When we come back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Fun stuff with Randy Johnson right there. We had Nolan Ryan. Who's third on the all-time strikeouts list? Because we've got one, we got two.
Wouldn't it be Cy Young or somebody like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, it might be Walter Johnson.
I don't think they're available, right? Yeah. Who's third on the all-time strikeouts list? Because
Steve Carlton?
We just need to go straight down.
Actually, Roger Clemens.
Oh, okay. I don't know if he's available.
I mean, he's still with us.
That's true.
It helps.
So we had Scott Van Pelt on yesterday, and he's like, you know what? It's entirely possible Tiger Woods shows up at Masters next week at Augusta National and actually tries to play. And because I brought that up with him because he was saying how weighty the coverage is from the worldwide leader in sports this week for Duke Carolina. And, you know, because Duke Carolina games, the ESPN's been the home of those, right? Twice a year. Pretty much forever. I told a story about being on the air after one of them with Stuart Scott.
Yeah.
He told one about being on one of those games on the air with Stuart Scott. I then like, well, how weighty the coverage? That will just be a walk in the park if Tiger Woods shows up to Augusta National next week and plays. CBS on their hands and knees, and obviously anybody who's a Tiger Woods fan would just be And so what's happening? Like, he's actually...
Okay, so here's the deal, Rich. There is a Twitter account called TW Legion, Tiger Woods Legion. They follow everything the Tiger does. So they were kind of tracking his jet yesterday because he had played a couple of practice rounds at the Meadowist, one of the courses down in Florida, and then they were tracking his jet going to Augusta yesterday because there were rumors that he was going to walk the course.
Well, he just got to walk it, just to see if he could physically do it.
Just to see how his body would hold up. Well... He ended up playing a full 18 yesterday.
At Augusta?
At Augusta with his son Charlie and Justin Thomas. Him and Tiger are very close.
How do you get a D-time? Sorry. Keep going.
And so one of the a source talked to ESPN and said, quote, he played every one of them, meaning all 18 holes. He looked good to me. So I don't know if that was JT who lobbed someone a text. And then Hank Haney, with Tiger's old swing coach, he went on his podcast and predicted not only that will Tiger play, but he will be surprised if he doesn't contend.
Oh,
said that Tiger Woods' camp saying that it's too early to make a decision is code for he's in, barring a last second change.
Oh my God.
Hank Haney also made reference to Tiger's comments about the Genesis, about going on beach walks and walking on the treadmill,
right,
saying that Tiger doesn't just go for short walks on a beach. We're talking about miles. So the Tiger was getting himself ready, because Augusta is one of the hardest walks on tour because of all the hills,
please.
Getting himself ready for right. that type of physical activity.
I can't even. I at this point in time, it's just like it's like Fight Club. I don't think we should talk about it right now. All right, let's talk about it. That would be insane.
Roy McIlroy met with the media earlier today and said, quote, the sheer will and perseverance, it's incredible. If he comes back from this again, he likes to prove people wrong. He likes to prove himself wrong, I think.
Okay. That would be stupid.
I can't even comprehend.
All I know is that there are some breadcrumbs here. Those are tons of breadcrumbs. Those are like loaves of bread. And Scott Van Pelt doesn't just throw that out without some sort of working belief that it's possible. He's not just throwing it out. He wouldn't do that just to click or anything like that. That's not his bag. Malcolm Jenkins and Alex Smith coming up in hour number three and more of your phone calls. But
Yeah, I saw what you guys.
There's no, I'm like, you know, we're constantly talking about how do you compare it. You know, obviously Bobby Jones, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, Scott said on SportsCenter.
Coming back from a car accident.
I'm going to see him play.
Would that happen again? Could that happen? This was just last year, right?
It was last year. Yeah.
We just passed the 1 year anniversary of the car overturning
miles away from where 15, we are right
15
now.
15 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And then jaws of life, whole business.
Yeah, nearly losing the leg.
Oh, my God. That he could play in the Masters.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
That he could play in the Masters would be unreal. And again, we mostly, you know, thank goodness the coverage has gotten so much better and looser that you see the whole course. I've only been told, but when you see it, it is particularly treacherous in terms of hills and walking up. So the fact that he not only went there to walk it, but wound up playing, and that sort of stuff out there wouldn't be like, he looks good, wouldn't be given the check mark to talk about it, to raise an expectation level that Tiger would not feel or anyone around him feels he would not be able to meet. That would be off the charts stupid, and there's no other way to put it, and I'm all in on it. I am all for it. The whole world would be all in on it, all for it. The gallery would be off the charts.
Huge.
The ratings would be through the roof. Through the roof. Even if you're just sitting there watching it,
and imagine if he made the cut somehow.
Dude, I can't even. Let's stop. He's not even. The bags haven't even been unpacked.
I know. He hasn't even announced anything.
But the fact that he went. enough alone just to play it and did it just alone. Yep. And way to go. I'm bringing his son. Love it.
By the way, I'm also dying to know what Charlie shot. anybody else curious?
Yeah, right.
I was going to ask you that question.
Like, anybody else know what he shot?
He's 14 now. Is that how old he is? Something like around there.
So 13 and 14.
Wow.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's go, Tiger. Let's go.
Tiger Woods, Joe.
Malcolm Jenkins, the new retired player, coming up.